Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, tonight, the Royals back in action. They were off yesterday. They begin a homestand against the New York Yankees. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. It's Noah Cameron against Max Fried. And of course, the obvious, it is Cags' home debut. What a moment that's going to be. We're going to talk more about it. Cannot wait for tonight. That first time where he steps on the on deck circle, steps into the batter's box, standing ovation, all that. We know it's coming. It's going to be awesome.
Going to be a great time tonight. Head out to the K. I already saw them send out the email. Be like, catch Cags home debut. And of course, the New York Yankees in town. So a big opponent, big test for the Royals over the next 3 days. They get a win tonight against Max Fried. Woo! Be feeling good going into Wednesday. That's for sure. Next up on What's Trending, three major holdouts in the NFL stand out today as mini camps begin around the NFL. TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson, the number one and number two sack leaders in the NFL last year, both will hold out amongst contract disputes with their teams. Trey Hendrickson's deal, reportedly, they've not even made an offer here recently, according to Ian Rappaport. And Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver for the Washington Commanders, also will miss camp amidst a contract dispute. The number one weapon for Jaden Daniels will miss a little bit of time here in the offseason as he tries to get himself a, let's say, market correction on his contract, as he's only got 1 year left remaining on his as well.
We know the Stanley Cup Finals took place again last night. It was Game 3, the Florida Panthers dominating win against the Edmonton Oilers. And that means our friend, Mr. Cash Out Bro, is in a little bit of trouble. He needs the Dicey Oilers to win the series and the Thunder. I think Florida's going to win this.
I think he's good on the Thunder, honestly.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He needs both. He's not cashing out. He needs both. NBA Finals don't pick back up until tomorrow
Wednesday
night.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe when's the next NHL playoff game? When's the next Stanley Cup game?
I think that's Thursday. Is that right?
Obviously he's cooked. If on Thursday night, the Oilers don't win that game, then he's
game four.
Then he's in deep, deep trouble. Next up on What's Trending, old friend alert, Scott Pioli's back into football. No, not at the NFL level. He has signed up to be an advisor for Iowa football as the NIL era continues in that sport. Gold, you mentioned before, the college ranks might start ripping off some of these NFL guys or former NFL guys who have handled money going a lot of different ways and essentially roster and cap management, as we think the college programs will be stuck with that kind of circumstance here going forward. So Scott Pioli back in football, but for Iowa football.
All right. That's what's trending.
You think gum wrappers? What are we thinking?
Microphones everywhere, all of it.
Microphones everywhere.
Don't forget our lunch partner on Tuesday, our friends over at Summit Grill. There are three locations in the area. They have got unbelievable taco deals, $2.50 tacos on Tuesdays. So we appreciate our friends over at Summit Grill for joining us.
Great spot for lunch, obviously. Check them out. Obviously, Gladstone and the Waldo area, and then out there at Lee Summit. So we know the spots for Summit Grill. Go check them out. You know, we're Third Street Social, all part of the same family. Great spots there. We love, and starting at 3 o'clock, $2.50 tacos. You could be watching Cags debut, Gold, right? Start at 3 o'clock,
perfect,
eating a $2.50 taco.
Get some food before you head out
to the K. If you're
not
going to the game, or, yeah, like you said, before going out to the K, get that, like, you skip kind of lunch, eat the early dinner in between. That way you get the dollar dog at the K. Perfect way to go about it.
Tonight, though, man, it's going to be special. It's going to be awesome. You know, the Yankees are in town. That always is big. And it's going to be dollar dog night. It's nice weather, all that. And then Jack Caglione makes his home debut. We're going to get to Cody's song here in just a couple minutes as well. I have not heard it.
Drew, you haven't heard it? You didn't sneak a listen?
Nope, I have not listened to anything.
So we're going to have that in just a bit. But thinking back to Kansas City sports debuts, whether it was at Arrowhead or at Kauffman Stadium, I think because of the era we live in now with social media and everything and the buildup and the accessibility of minor league highlights and the fact that we're talking about someone that can obviously hit a baseball very, very far versus not just a guy that hits for average that would be amazing, but also what gets people's attention is the home run ball and the power. Yeah. And obviously Caglione has that, and hopefully we see the first home run this week.
Max Fried's tough tonight.
Maybe not the right pitcher for that tonight. Who knows?
Although he's going to have more homers than lefties.
You can get to the bullpen. You can get to the bullpen. Maybe it happens late in the game. That'd be amazing. But I think this is the biggest home debut. I really believe that in season. I know Bobby Wood Jr. when he's on the opening day roster, but opening day already has its own festivities to go with it. This is separate. This is June 10th, just a random day in the baseball season. Happens to be the Yankees, and it's Jack Caglione's home debut. The minute he steps in the batter's box, everybody's going to be on their feet. It is going to be amazing. I cannot wait for that moment. And I told you earlier, I'll be curious. Like, will the ump do the whole thing where he like wipes the home plate off, gives him some more time to soak it in a little bit? It's going to be an awesome moment, let alone if he gets a hit at some point or if he were to hit a home run. But just every time he steps in the batter's box, hopefully it's four times tonight or whatever.
If he hits a homer, that's when you'll really feel it. I do think some of it is moment.
I don't think he even has to do that, though.
No, but I do think for it to feel as big as it can, I do think it's somewhat moment dependent. Part of the reason Alex Gordon's debut stands out in our heads gold is Alex Gordon stepped to the dish for the first time. Now, it was both his debut and his home debut, but he steps up into the dish with the bases loaded, right? It felt bigger than a lot of ways than Bobby's even did because of the, it's the bases loaded. Here comes the golden boy outside of that. I think it helps the Cags went 4-for-4 on Sunday. So the vibe's there. I think because of the prodigious power, people are always on the edge of their seat thinking about if this ball is going to go hit off of, rivals. Is that what it's called? Is it still called rivals out there? Rivals.
Yeah.
I always get it confused if they've, because, they change names every once in a while.
It is still rivals.
The, the quick trip party porch, or the quick fountain deck. I understand they call it the right name, but the fountain deck or rivals or anything outside of there, where's the ball going to land? All of that expectation. But if he comes up half, this is the weirdest thing about his career so far. He's only played six games. Like half the time he's coming to the dish, it's like one out or two outs and nobody on.
Oh, I was just going to say he's leading off an inning. Yeah, it's been leading off an inning.
And then the buildup doesn't feel the same. I want him standing in the batter's box. Salvi gets on base. There's two on, one out, his first at bat at the K, and he has a chance to, do something with it. I do think that the moment can feel even bigger if the in-game moment has a little juice to it. If he hits a homer tonight.
The place is gonna explode. Absolutely explode.
It's gonna be crazy.
This is why if you can make it out, you want because it's gonna happen this week. I don't know if it's tonight. I'm convinced it's happening this week.
He's gonna go two weeks without hitting a home run.
Yeah, there's too much power there. It's happening this week, whether it's against the Yankees or the A's this weekend. I hope it's tonight. I'm gonna be at the game tonight. I know you're gonna head out there, I think, at some point too. It's going to be one of the memories. I think that we talk about we just did with Gordon. I think 10 years from now, it's going to be a memory that we talk about and Royals fans remember as well. And I'll go back to what Caglione told Joel Goldberg on FanDuel Sports Network. I think it was after the game on Sunday in Chicago. And he even acknowledged, Cags did, that in a weird way, he's kind of looking forward to tonight more than he even did his big league debut, because he knows he's going to be in front of 30,000. We don't know the attendance. We think 30,000 plus, although I have not been able to get an answer on what they think the actual crowd is going
to
be.
Did you try to find out?
Yes. So I don't know. I mean, it's not a sellout. I know that. But I think even though it's a Tuesday, you couple
30,000 on a Tuesday is a sellout in my mind.
Well, okay.
I understand. But yeah.
Tuesday night, Dollar Dogs. It's the Yankees. Cags debut. I mean, come on now.
No,
if you can make it out there tonight, I understand not everybody can, I'm not saying that there's obviously reasons everybody maybe can't make it out. I haven't looked to see what the cheapest ticket is still out there and all that. But
what were your favorite debuts? I am kind of curious now. 913-586-7965. The Gordon one always stands out because it was like a moment. The Bobby one, it just felt like opening day. It felt like I hadn't had baseball in 3 months, and I've been to a lot of opening days. It kind of felt like opening day. I was excited for Bobby, but the weather was miserable. It was like snowing halfway through. And Bobby did eventually come around to score the game-winning run. So he was like a part of it, but it wasn't like a walk-off, and it was kind of cool. I don't know. It just didn't have, at no fault of his own, there was like a certain off energy about it. I guess that's the only question I have is, does the fact that he already made his debut change any part of the momentum change. And it doesn't, honestly, on the street, if you just ask people, talk to people, it definitely doesn't feel that way. Right now, the cheapest on a secondary website.
Okay.
The cheapest ticket in the building appears to be about $35.
On secondary market.
On the secondary market.
Yeah, I haven't checked the Royals.com. I know they do that dynamic pricing as well, and it's the Yankees series, so those are going to be a little bit more expensive than they normally are. But no, I don't think the buzz has worn off at all. This is the first time that people, majority of fans, are going to have a chance to see him, and it's the first time for anybody to have a chance, unless you travel to St. Louis or Chicago. So,
and there were a few people who certainly did, ourselves included, but you're right. It's like, this is your chance to watch him play.
Yeah, everybody's heard about it. I mean, I was texting with somebody. I actually went to our friends over at Rally House yesterday, and I ended up getting in a conversation with them there. Like, they came custom do Caglione jerseys now.
Were you getting a custom Cag jersey?
No, I was looking for a specific t-shirt. They didn't have it. But you can get jerseys custom made at, like, the Oak Park location, but the ones from, like, Fanatics and stuff, those aren't going to be until July. And the Royals team store, I believe, can do custom stuff. They also had like a Caglione t-shirt that I want, but
they got a jersey.
No, it's a nerdy sports card related t-shirt that they have. But
already, boy,
yeah, they already have it. I do want that. But
there's nothing wrong with showing your interest in t-shirt form.
Yeah, we might also have a guest in the 1 o'clock hour today as well, related to the sports card thing too. So hopefully that all comes together. And somebody that knows CAGs pretty well and everything. So hopefully that'll happen around 1:15 or so. But people are waiting. People are waiting. We've teased it a little bit.
Oh, you think they want the song now?
People are waiting. Oh, okay. Well, some people want the song. Not everybody, Cody.
Again,
some people want the song.
I think some people will still hate listen to it.
Yes. So you've been working on this song. You said you were waiting for the home debut for Jack Caglione.
I was.
Anybody that's listened to the show for a while knows that Cody has a history of making songs. Some better than others.
Some for slumps. Some just in support of players. Like Vinny Pasquantino's song was just it's turned into a slump
and the
song.
The rule is I'm not allowed to hear it until you guys get to hear it as well. I do my best usually to block the song from happening. I can't always do that. And the veto pass was already used, I believe, from the garage sale.
What song now?
I can't remember. Listener True Green Thumb. That song never aired. It was blocked. There's no block here. Here is... We have a name for it?
Yeah, the name of the song is J.A.C.
Ah, okay.
Cags, 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 cags.
How'd it go up here?
Cags,
cags,
cags, cags, cags, cags, cags, cags.
See him? TV screen, power more than one can get, if you know what I mean. Homers to the Oppo field, homers out to right. His arms a gun, his abs are tight. Don't you start no fight. 'Cause he's J.A.C. He's dynamite. J.A.C. Help win the fight. J.A.C. He's a power load. J.A.C. The ball explodes.
It's kind of a long song this morning.
This is up there. I'll say this is up there compared to some others.
Can ball and swing so mean. He's a wanted man. Pitchers fear number one. Understand? So don't miss your fastball. Don't miss your curve. Smacks up your bad pitch the rest of your life. The man is back in town. So don't mess around. 'Cause he's J.A.C. He's dynamite. J.A.C. Help win the fight. J.A.C. He's a power load. J.A.C. The ball explodes. J.A.C. He's dynamite. J.A.C. Help win the fight. J.A.C. He's a power load. J.A.C. The ball explodes.
just the end of this song. There is no singing at this part of the song.
I will say, this is up there.
This is,
we've talked about this. This is perfect because it doesn't require you to actually sing as much.
Just
it's more yelling, which is good. This is up there. This is a top three song for me that you've done, I think. I think it's a top three song under the Cody catalog.
Hey, the text line loves it,
and
too.
And it works. It works truly. Like, because that's, you're right. When you have to, like, sing for a while, sometimes it's not the best.
Sometimes it fails itself
a
little bit.
In this, where you're able to just kind of yell, and it, like you said, it's upbeat, that's when it usually works for you. The lyrics, some of them are pretty funny. Some are very funny.
Somebody on the text line said the first 10 seconds was the best part. I agree. When you're just Kags. Kags. Yeah. I think
you're building up the anticipation, you know?
Kags. Kags.
Oh, yeah.
Kags.
I think this is some of your best work. I really do.
I committed fully to trying to mimic the style of the song.
I think.
Which was work.
AC/DC cover, also just a smart choice anyway, because that's going to get a lot of people. It's a song that everybody knows, everybody's heard, and then you're not having to sing as much. This was good.
And again, I wanted something like, the more I thought about it.
His abs are tight, though, is an unbelievable line.
Is that line out of
in the song?
I'll be honest. It wouldn't happen probably, but if they just took the first little part where you're just Kags, and they played it at the park, can you imagine this 30,000 people?
Well, I'm hoping that does happen tonight.
Not be insane.
They're not gonna play the song, but I think there's a chance we get a Kags chant tonight at Kauffman Stadium for sure.
Hopefully,
for sure. That's well done, Cody.
Very good.
I can't knock this one.
Why? You know what? I like
some of the lyrics.
You questioned some of the lyrics.
It was very.
Don't miss your fastball. Don't miss your curve. I felt good about that.
I think usually so this is why it's perfect. Normally you're very clever with the lyrics, and that's obviously what happened here. But sometimes the singing is a little rough. This time, it all came together.
I don't know why this song came about very last minute. As I decided, I needed more of a rock song, so I just put on like a station on Spotify until something makes sense, and I thought people will get into. JAC, you know, like you just want to be able to like yell when he's hitting home runs, you know?
No, I like it. I really do.
JAC, he's dynamite. JAC,
help win the fight. that's what, by the way, Drew, Gold was hearing out of the back corner.
That's what you were yelling
the entire time. Well, it is kind of a yelling song, you know?
Yeah, I could definitely tell when you were saying, come bring the fight. I mean, I could tell, I could picture you yelling in the booth as you were recording it.
I don't have the lyrics in front of me. You only know those.
Yeah,
but from what I could tell listening, there were two moments that have stood out for a lot of people. The abs are tight.
His abs are tight.
And then you kept saying power load. He's a power load.
Is that not a good thing to say? It's like, the one thing I've learned slowly over doing some of these songs is if you can honor or just straight use any of the original lyric, use part of the original lyric. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way in supporting the rest of the song. That's pretty close to the original line of the song, you know? If you guys missed any part of it, I'm sure we'll play it later in the show, but also we'll put it up on, Drew will get it up on social media.
We might have to play it for our guest in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And like, get his opinion. He's friends with Jack Caglione.
Yeah.
See if he thinks Jack Caglione would like socials.
What's that?
It'll be out a little bit later, like 3-ish central time on socials.
Oh, later. So we got, you got a whole tight.
Drew, do you agree? I think we'll move on in a second, but I think it's a top two, top three Cody song.
Yes.
I think so. 100%. I think so.
Most people still rank Pasquantino as my best.
Yeah, I think that's
it's up there with that one and Mike Hill.
The Pasquantino one is hard to, it's like if an artist, their first big hit, you know, that one people are going to remember for a while. It's hard to knock that one off.
I think
you know?
The first song I ever did on the show was Happy Birthday Patrick of all things.
Yeah.
I'll say is
you should just do more songs where you yell. Mm. That's what we've discovered
more rock
here.
Covers
more yelling.
Rock covers yelling.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. You know, I hope they play some AC/DC out at the park tonight. That just feels logical anyway, just based on
AC.
If you're DJing at the K tonight, can you just, will you play that song out at the K? Not this song. I mean, you can play this song, but will you play that song out at the K so everyone can hear JAC? Thankfully, a song someone really
says it's
way.
The guy that's coming on your show in the 1 o'clock hour also have a song about him. No.
I don't think so.
No, he does not.
I'll be honest.
Tax has been on this show and has a song about it. Most of the people who have a song about him have been on this show probably at this point.
Yeah.
Out of all the ones, you should get this one like in some way, shape, or form mastered in a way where you can it can be peak quality, and then you actually send it to the team and you just see what happens.
I did that once for the, Creed is good.
I think this one is worth
it
as well.
I went to it was a basement one, but I went to somebody's like recording studio who mastered it. That felt like the best way to get like,
you went to somebody's basement
recording
to master the song.
That was just the one time.
Gotcha.
Everything else has been personally, recorded and edited by me at this point, you know?
Yeah.
You know what? This has got to be maybe one of the most universally loved ones.
I agree.
It's mostly been, there's
always going to be a few haters. Someone said, okay, attempt Cody, probably worse lyrics. That's what somebody said on the text line.
You know, that's still, they're giving it like a B, C grade, you know?
So somebody brings up a good point. I think you should still provide a remixed version of this song or a CAG song with I'm in love with a hitter, like doing it in that regard. I think
that'll be on the eventual
that version would also
LP
be hilarious.
That's too much singing though. It's not going to be as good. Cody actually has to sing more.
I will
that
say
one.
That song was also not great. For the I'm not saying I'm an excellent singer, but like there's songs that are more in your range.
Mm-hmm.
That song was a little tough on my range.
You just need the auto tune. You just need the auto tune, Cody. That's what you would need, like T-Pain. It's all right.
That one was just a little bit tough. That's all.
Someone tomorrow or later on Friday is requesting a classic song. Father's Day is on Sunday. We might bring that one back on.
Oh, Daddy Day.
We might bring, that's the most uncomfortable song you've ever done. We might bring that one back on Friday. It'll be a few days out of Father's Day. Don't forget Father's Day is this Sunday. Make sure you get everything set up for that. Take care of that if you forgot. But that is that's
it's
Sunday. So maybe Friday we'll have a little Daddy Day song.
It does feel appropriate going into the weekend of Father's Day.
Uh-huh.
We can play that one. For now, the song today is J-A-C. See, I didn't want to say J-A-C because I thought it might give it away. I thought about just telling you it was called Jack, and then I wasn't sure how you'd, because there were other ones I considered, right? Like, instead of shots, could I just turn it into Jack? I went through this one I really struggled with. I wanted it to be the right song. I feel very good about the selection after many attempts.
Yes.
Because I had written lyrics for other songs, but I feel pretty good about it overall. We'll get the opinion of our guest later on, somebody who's, heard it.
I'll be sure to tag CAGS as well. You know, it's going to get the hashtag.
Sure.
It'll get the tag. It'll get the Royals hashtag. It'll tag the Royals. I might even tag Vinny in it as well and see if Vinny can pass it along.
Maybe.
Whatever Maybe. We can get to do to have CAGS actually hear the song, Cody, because I feel like CAGS would, I don't know. I think CAGS would enjoy it.
How do we actually get it to him, you're saying?
Yeah.
Work through
the best chances
Sam
of having
Mellinger.
Him actually hear it, yes.
Could you please, do you mind playing this song for Jack?
I don't know how he's supposed to react.
Jack hits a walk-off homer, and this is the song that's playing in the locker room afterwards? Oh, yeah. It'd be top tier.
So we'll get it out on social media later if you missed it. If you're just tuning in,
1 o'clock
the
hour
official song for Jack Caglione is out. His home debut tonight. J-A-C being the song, a cover of TNT by AC/DC.
All right, up
Some
next.
Some people were guessing AC/DC songs yesterday, just the wrong
one. Well, once you said rock anthems and stuff
like
that.
Yeah.
Up next, Michael Lorenzen pitched very well the other day. What does it mean for the rest of the rotation and how they could approach that? Plus, the random question of the day right here.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Cody Engle. All right, back here on Cody and Gold, we go from a Cody song to a Drew beat, a custom beat.
Just custom stuff on this show, you know?
That's it.
That's why we're number one here on 96.5 The Fan, right. Or, I don't know, number one in, for midday sports talk, guys. Actually, number one in general, sometimes. You know, that's why we that's did true. That. We did that Kelly's Bar Tab.
You catch it on the one. Cody and Gold album. Side A will be Cody's song. Side B will be
Drew Beats.
Well, will be the Beats. Drew
I told
Beats.
You my
hope. And Gold will be the DJ over top. Yo, this is the Cody and Gold album.
As we go through the the process to try to make sure that the Cody and Gold Garage Show can be everything we want it to be, I am hopeful that I can press one single album available, and I'll put I'm in love with a hitter on that. Only you'll get to hear it. Only the person who owns the LP, you know?
Yeah. And
it'll be a vinyl, you're saying?
Yeah. Nice. Like an actual vinyl.
What's like the cover art going to be?
I haven't figured that out yet. I'd looked at some possibilities. Maybe just a Cody and Gold logo. I don't know. I'm kind of open on cover art. Maybe we'll use a local artist, you know, pay a local artist there to create some cool cover art.
Yeah, hopefully hopefully the garage sale is still something that happens in the fall. We're working on that. Hopefully that is something we can do again this fall. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll have a special guest joining us, someone that knows CAGS pretty well. Someone that also a lot of people are asking us on the text line about like sports cards and things like that. That's kind of gives you an idea of who's coming in studio a little bit, just in terms of what we're going to talk about. And he'll be at the game. He's actually flew in from New York just to come to CAGS' debut tonight.
So he traveled further than we did to go to St. Louis. That's for sure.
Yep.
Well, you know what? If you're close with somebody and you want to watch their at home debut, then why not? Again, I'm still very, very excited about CAGS at Kauffman Stadium tonight, as I think a lot of Royals fans are expecting a big crowd, I hope, out there as well.
Hopefully,
as I told
man.
You.
There's no reason, disappointed no if reason it's not. For it not to be. It's the Yankees. It's Dollar Dog
it's
Night.
It's summer.
It's nice weather. And obviously, it's Jack Caglione's home debut. All that comes together. Should be an awesome night out at Kauffman Stadium. Reminder, this afternoon, the Drive will be broadcasting from the K from 2 to 6. So if you get there early, stop by, say hello to CDOT. Rob's going to be out there as well. Give CDOT a hard time for us, you know? Make sure you do that.
Yeah. You know, go out there and see him. Plus, if you're going to the K, you might as well stop by. You'll see the 96.5, the Fan 10. I imagine they'll be right outside, like you said, Gate D.
Usually it's Gate D. That's usually the spot.
Not us this time. Although, is it going to be hot tonight? What's the...
Oh, the high today is like 88.
It's so... We're such in like a weird weather vacuum here sometimes. We're like, I can't tell what the weather's turned into. I only know what it was like when I got in the building at, 8 a.m.,
yeah,
and then I don't know what people it's like until we get there, too.
Someone just texted in, like, the batting practice tickets, you can pay extra money to have batting practice access. Those sold out last week. Of course, people want to watch Caglione and BP, and you have to have special passes to do that.
It's cool. It's a great experience if you ever get a chance to do it. You can talk about, would make a great Father's Day gift. They're not paying me to say this. It's just a cool experience no matter the game. It doesn't have to be his first home game. Just those things in general are certainly a cool moment. I was interested as we kind of go through. No, Cameron's going to pitch tonight. And this is what made me obviously think of it based on the fact that Michael Lorenzen had made a nice start on Sunday. Once we get through this turn of the rotation, is it time to officially do what seems to be a prevailing trend or a trend that seems to be plausible now at the major league level? Do we need to go six-man rotation? Do you like Lorenzen enough to go six-man rotation is really what the argument here for is at this moment. Because I honestly don't care. If Noah Cameron got rocked tonight by the Yankees, it would not change the fact that his first five MLB starts went six or six and a third or six and two-thirds innings for one earned run or zero earned runs to start his career. If he does it tonight against the Yankees, then we'll be really having the Rookie of the Year buzz, even though I told you he's deserving of some real Rookie of the Year buzz now. I honestly think that they should probably look at the six-man rotation because of their future needs. The reason why I would say it is Cole Reagans can't stay healthy, right? Or hasn't stayed healthy this year. He's had a little bit of injury trouble and he's not quite himself yet. So I don't want to overexpose him yet until he's kind of back into rhythm. And Chris Bubich innings we know can only go so far. Lorenzen has never been like 190, 200 inning guy. Because of the makeup of their rotation, it actually makes more sense now than it's ever made to go six-man rotation. I understand the off days because they had an off day yesterday.
A bunch of Mondays.
Another off day next Monday. Another off day the Monday after that, I think. So it seems like in perpetuity, they're just off on Mondays. But like, find a way to make it work. Even if you got to skip one more start for one more pitcher.
This goes back to, you know, the, hey, baseball has a weird way of working itself out when it comes to pitchers and roster moves. And, you know, you're trying to figure out what they need to do. And then a lot of times, performance or injuries, or in this case, now running into days off on Mondays consecutively, it sorts itself out. Like, this kind of just delays the potential decision. And most likely, it allows you to not have to make that decision, to where, based on Lorenzen's performance, based on Noah Cameron's performance and health of other guys in the rotation, including how Cole Reagans looks in his next outing after having a rough go, those will all dictate what they can pivot to, I think, moving forward.
So,
for the time being, I think they're going to kind of stand pat with the rotation as is. Lorenzen and Noah Cameron are going to continue to be part of that. That's my understanding, is kind of where things are going to be at right this second, because of the off days allowing them to do that.
So without admitting, they're essentially saying they want to do a six-man rotation.
I still eventually think Michael Lorenzen goes to the bullpen, though.
I do, too.
Unless Noah Cameron like blows up in the next over the next three outings or something like that. Then if Noah Cameron were to have three bad outings in a row, then everybody's going to shift.
The brief reprieve and they go outside that. And look, tonight is certainly the kind of team that can get the better of you. The New York Yankees can hit. Without even looking, I'm getting, I guess they're one of the teams that score the five most runs in baseball.
They do. Although, you know, it's weird. Their last 10 games, we were looking this up, and it's just 10 games, and it doesn't mean that they're not hitting with runners in scoring position. The Royals batting average is probably would stun you. Just a simple batting average. It's not slugging or anything. Just simple batting average. If I told you over the last 10 games, the Royals had a higher batting average over their last 10 than the Yankees, you would have said, huh? But that's the truth. Both teams are 5-5 their last 10. The Royals have a .292 batting average during that. The Yankees have a .255 batting average. And the Royals have been outscored by 3 runs. The Yankees outscored by 17. Now, different competition. The Royals were playing the White Sox and the Cardinals. The Yankees just wrapped up a series against the Boston Red Sox. And who did they play right before that? I know off the top of my head. It's not apples to apples, but you would have probably assumed the Yankees had a higher batting average over their last 10 than the Royals.
Yeah, I would have. I would have just assumed every offensive number was better over those last few. The Yankees are scoring 2 more full runs per game than the Royals this year.
Yeah.
They score 5.45 runs per game. The Royals score 3.42. So, like, it's a pretty significant difference between the two offenses. And yet, again, if that goes back to it, I know we haven't done the topic yet. It'll probably be more for tomorrow if he does it.
Mm-hmm.
If Noah Cameron goes out tonight and continues this Fernando Mania type run, but it's against the third best offense in baseball, I mean, it's going to be hard for the rest of the league to ignore. And I'm going to have a hard time saying, and I've already moved off it a little bit, Gold, you know that like my sense of it was the same as most people. Like, without the strikeouts, it's hard to imagine this can last for, like, how long can this run last? And again, it doesn't mean he has to
ride it out as long as possible.
It doesn't mean he has to have a 1 point earned run average. We're just talking about, could he be a guy who starts 30 games a year with a mid-3s ERA? That was not what they thought they were getting in Noah Cameron. Low-4s ERA, high-3s ERA. But if he continues his rookie-year type run in this situation, there'd be no argument against a six-man rotation. It protects everything else you're doing. Everything else you're doing. It leaves open the possibility for a team to trade for Michael Lorenzen either out of the pen as a starter. I know he had 3 or 4 bad starts in a row. He's coming off a good one in a win for the Royals.
Yeah, it's weird how it shifted, though, because a couple weeks ago, our understanding was they really weren't considering and weren't willing to do the six-man rotation.
The GM himself said that something they kicked around, but it's hard with all the off days.
But now here we are, we're in it. And based on performances from multiple guys, and it kind of sorts itself out, it looks like maybe that's an area that they're willing to go. I will point out, I know we're obviously focused in on Jack Caglione tonight because it's his home debut at Kauffman Stadium. But I am fascinated to see what Aaron Judge does in this series. Hopefully he doesn't destroy the baseball game. Because right now, I mean, what he's doing this season, I know last year we all thought Bobby should have been MVP. And he should have been.
Yeah, he was the better overall player.
This year, Aaron Judge is running away with it's over. I mean, it is.
The odds will tell you it's over.
It is over. He's hitting .396. It's June 10th, and he's had 240 at-bats, 23 homers, slugging .771. His OPS is 1.264. I mean, just like video
Barry
game.
Bonds numbers,
video game.
Honestly.
Yeah, it's video game number type stuff from Aaron Judge this season.
I mean, those are, Yeah, those are Barry Bonds numbers. I mean, at that point, you just can't ignore it. He's going to win the MVP. I don't remember what it is. Like you said, all the stats you just gave, he leads the league in.
Well, sure.
Average on base, slugging, OPS, OPS plus, hits, runs. Like, he's having an – like, I thought last year was impressive. He has been better. He has been better. He's been better than he was last year, which is crazy in its own right, man. Better yeah, than last insane. Year?
Hopefully they can shut him down, but nobody's shutting him down this year.
I hope he goes 0 for 15 or the home run he hits is meaningless.
Well, that's your hope.
When
is
they're
that,
either already up a lot or down a lot. Obviously, up a lot would be preferred.
He's going to get some hits, but can you prevent the three-run home run? And that's the key. If you're wondering how he fared over the weekend against Boston, his last game out, he was 3 for 4 with 2 home runs. Now, they still lost. They still lost 11-7. But he did. He was 3 for 4 with 2 homers in his last outing against Boston on Sunday, I guess it would have been.
Yeah, it's just he's a pretty good baseball player. That was always the funny comment. I still don't think he should have made it, although it was true. Right when Juan Soto had ended up with the Mets, and he was like, well, it's a lot harder to hit behind Aaron Judge. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it is. But you're not supposed to say that when you take $750 million.
Yeah, but then Aaron Judge in the postseason is just, he just struggles. It's so bizarre for a guy that's so dominant in the regular season.
He has not in any way assisted. He should have a World Series title by now. And he doesn't. Like, based on just his regular season stats alone, I don't blame the Yankees for paying him or anything outside of that. He's obviously one of the top three players in baseball. He's the best hitter in baseball. I don't even think there's an argument for that. Yep. My arguments with Bobby were always the completeness of the play, yeah, including
defense,
the two last diving and the base running and all the stuff he can do that Aaron Judge doesn't do. Aaron Judge doesn't steal the number of bases Bobby Witt does with the amount of success or play the level of defense he does outside of that. Going back to the six-man rotation, I did see from the 816 pitchers are creatures of habit. They're used every fifth day. I don't disagree with that. I'll just tell you, two teams right now in baseball are doing six-man rotations, and a third, fourth, and fifth teams have all considered it at some point, not including the Royals in that mix. You might be able to get him back into that habit just outside of it and find some way in order to do it.
All right, let's get to it.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. You know, we do all those video streams over there, interact with you there as well. Give you a chance to interact with there as well. Today's question is related to birthdays. It was my daughter's birthday yesterday, as we had mentioned on the show. I told you I finished making a Hello Kitty cake yesterday after the show. I'll have to make a wicked cake later in the month for her birthday party, but we're squared away there. But then I got into a conversation with a family member about something that we never did as family members. So I wanted to know if this is, and I'll just be honest, the Tab family, not great at celebrating. We're not great at like individual birthdays or Mother's Days or Father's Days or those things. Not our highest point. We don't like get together for every single one of them. Never did. Sometimes I would get cake on the same day as my sister, whose birthday is the day after mine. We would just do one cake for both. Right. A lot of lumped in. You're a twin. You had to lump in some birthdays over the course of time. But the question was over whether or not my daughter or anyone in our family celebrated the half birthday.
Oh, no.
And so the question I have for you today is, did your family or anyone in your family ever bring up the two? It was both half birthday and golden birthday, which I am to understand is the month you were born, the age you are. So like your golden birthday, unfortunately for you, Gold, would have been when you were one. My golden birthday would have been when I was 9. Drew, your birthday's in October.
10.
10 would have been his. We've all missed
this
our
golden
birthdays.
This seems like some manufactured created thing.
Maybe.
Like,
I'm just asking if it was just our
birthday.
Family who ignores those things, or do your family celebrate half birthdays or golden birthdays? That's my random question today.
No, we do a lot of stuff on Father's Day, Mother's Day. Like, we're doing a Father's Day dinner thing on Sunday and stuff. But half birthdays? No, we never did a celebration for half birthdays.
I mean, your half birthday's easy January. To figure out. Yes.
But no, we don't.
Quick math on that one.
Birthdays in January. It makes it very easy. But no, we never did definitely the golden birthday thing. I never even heard of.
You never even heard of
golden
that.
Birthday feels like something when you're older. You know? Like the Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, that's not it, you know? Like that, yeah.
You've never even heard of that one.
No.
Because your family gets together a lot more than mine.
We do.
So I didn't know if maybe
holidays
like
and stuff.
Anybody mentioned a half birthday at some point in the Gold family. You're saying that's just never been a thing.
No, like we're doing, like we did a get together on Mother's Day. This Sunday's Father's Day, where there's a bunch of us going out to dinner on Father's Day. We do stuff like that, but not a half birthday stuff, no.
Okay, Drew, nothing.
This makes more sense. Okay, someone says you. I think maybe you described the golden birthday thing backwards.
We didn't celebrate it.
Someone says supposed to be the day, not the month. That makes more sense. So then you could end up getting it. Either way, mine was at 12. Then I guess so. It's already over.
Mine was at 21. That's pretty.
And Cody was at
one spot.
That's my birthday, September 1st.
September 1st.
Candace will launch sports betting. Anybody who's listened to the show for a while knows that reference. But yeah,
I never heard of the golden birthday until today. But the half birthday. We don't celebrate it, but every now and then my wife and I would joke that it's our half birthdays. Like, it just happens to come up where you don't, like, it hits you and you realize, oh, it's my half birthday. Half nice. Birthday.
Maybe if you were, like, 7 years old and you're...
Half birthday
when you're about to turn 50 seems weird. Like, what are we doing?
Here's the kids I think that, like, might want to celebrate it more. I think if your birthday's too close to Christmas, or is Christmas, right?
That's
like, you know what is New Year's Day, is 4th of July. Could you see the appeal of the half birthday then? I could make an argument for someone of a half birthday
in June or July.
If you were a Christmas baby, right? Already hard to kind of do to make it feel like a normal birthday or feel different or special, right? So, you know, hit me around in June. Give me a chance to have a second minor celebration. Again, we don't do that. My kids have never brought it up. But my family just gets together. I've come to realize way less than most families, or at least way less than the people I'm around.
Hey,
like, Drew, your family's all out of town. You guys can't get together as regularly.
Correct.
But do you guys get on, like, a big Zoom call for Father's Day? Or is it an individual thing?
We FaceTime each other at least once a month, I would say. You know,
as a group?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
September 1st, Kansas will launch sports betting.
That's my birthday!
It is summertime, so if there's anybody who is younger, like if they're, I don't know, if they're 10, 12, 13, and you might have just given them a new idea, Cody, where, hey, I never thought of that. I don't celebrate half birthdays. Maybe I should convince my parents to celebrate my birthday in June or July because my birthday is December 22nd.
I'm just asking. That's all. That was the point of the random question. Just
in fairness, if you celebrate half birthdays, I think you must have loved Alice in Wonderland. It wasn't half birthday; it was the unbirthday in Alice in Wonderland. But you might as well be the same thing.
Do you guys have a lot of people in your life that are big? Like, it turns into a birthday week situation.
No.
Anybody who likes their birthday enough I don't think I've ever experienced. Like, I've never
celebrated for a full week. That's quite the
you're milking it a little bit, right,
Drew. You're milking it. If you're turning 40,
if you date someone who cares about that, then you should probably just lean in and let them celebrate their birthday week.
A whole week? Again, it depends on the age. Is it a milestone birthday?
No. Well, technically, my birthday is not until Friday, but I'm celebrating on Tuesday, you know?
Well, I've done that where, like, hey, because of plans, you're not able, your birthday, like, I've had plenty of times, I think most people have had this, your birthday falls on a Wednesday, and you wait till the Friday to actually, quote unquote, celebrate it.
I think you should wait until after your birthday to celebrate it. If you're going to wait, you should wait until after. Don't celebrate before your birthday.
Why? What's the difference? What do I care?
And look, I don't want to be...
I think it's whichever one lands closer to the weekend, actually.
I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but if you happen to not make it to your birthday...
Well, then you're not worried about it. You're already gone, Drew. Who are you trying to impress at that point?
Make it to my birthday? Damn. You're saying I'm not allowed to... I'm dead! I can't even celebrate my birthday because I died?
Damn.
I'm going to know.
You're not going to be worrying about that.
Well, of course not, yeah.
That's a bleak way to look at it, man. I'm just gonna say.
Do you really feel that way? Where you have, like, is that really in your mind? Where you've got to do the birthday after the birthday?
I think it's something that you just, it just makes sense.
Like,
when you said it the way that you've done it, Gold. Well, if my birthday's on a Wednesday, I wait until Friday. It makes sense to do that.
Sure.
Why would you say, if I know my birthday is on Wednesday, I'm not going to celebrate it on Monday. I might as well wait until Wednesday to do it.
I think it's closest to the. I think that in any case like this, it's just like a holiday. It's always closest to the day. If it's a Monday or Tuesday, you celebrate the weekend before. If it's a Thursday or Friday, you celebrate the weekend after. Wednesday's a wild card. I lean towards the weekend after.
It just makes
sense.
But
I'm not dead set on the weekend after, Gold. I could be talked into the weekend before if it's a Wednesday. You're kind of stuck in no man's land on that one. The weekend after, I think it's the closest one to the physical date.
So it says they won't even open a gift or a card until it's their birthday. I mean, well, if you're a kid, you're probably not having your kids open their presents until it's their birthday.
Man, the text line. I despise birthday week people. Despise. Despise
is a strong word, but I don't know that, like, you need a whole week to celebrate your birthday. Unless it's like, again, maybe it's a big deal. You're turning 50 or something. I don't know. But most people, I feel like some people don't want to turn 50. So they dread it. They try to avoid that whole thing. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't been there. We'll find out for Cody in 10 years.
What is
we
this text? 50.
I didn't do anything particularly big for my 40th, so I don't know why I'd start with that.
Oh, jeez. Why are we doing?
Do you... What is that? I genuinely don't know.
The top text? It's a mean text is what it is.
Okay. I can tell you off the air. I mean, there's nothing...
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a rude text, that's all. It's a rude text.
Oh, that's despicable, you know? Jeez.
Somebody said kids with summer birthdays often do half birthdays for school celebrations. It's true. If you got a summer birthday, a lot of times for half birthdays, they'll let you do the, like, you know, the kids get to sing you happy birthday or whatever during the class. We've just decided, because Desmond's birthday is in August, we've decided, like, we'll do his birthday party, like, in September so he can invite school friends. His birthday is before the school year starts. In order to invite school friends, you can't send out an invitation March 20th. No one's going to come to your birthday party in August if you send out an invitation March 20th. No one's going to remember. So we'll just do it after the fact. Does that seem crazy?
No.
Birthday months? Some people say they know
nobody
two
does
people.
A birthday Let's, month.
According to the text line, there's a couple people who do.
No way. Gold, there's no way that somebody
How would you
does.
Celebrate a birthday Someone month? Like, do something eight, once s- every week?
I don't know. 816 says, my ex-wife has all of Memorial Day week. One more reason she's my ex. All right. There you go from the 816.
Dang.
Okay. It's like, I'm not giving you, it's like, it's a holiday week too. Now he's even less willing to give up the week. You want me to give up a week and a holiday week?
Yep.
I'm out.
Jeez.
That is the random question of the day. I asked this question, honestly, as well, earlier in the show. This is more on the sports end, though. If the trade deadline was this Friday, it's not, but if it was, knowing where the Royals are at right this second, game and a half out of a wild card spot, would you want them to be buyers, sellers, or just kind of status quo?
Sellers would be a massive disappointment to me, even if they were five games out in a lot of ways.
I think, so... For me, it's the number of games out is what it's all about. So let's say it is July 31st and it's not this Friday. You know, where they're at right this second, I would tell you I want them to be buyers. They're only a game and a half out of a playoff spot. If it's July 31st or if they were already five games out, then it'd be a different story. If they get to the round the trade deadline and they are five games out of a playoff spot, no, they should not be buyers. Now, does that mean that you're selling like pieces of the future? No, of course not. I'm talking about guys that have expiring contracts in the year. You're more willing to part ways with them because, hey, this is not the year to go
Lugo.
On.
Lugo.
Yeah, and, I mean, like, my others, expectation, Lorenzen. Of course, for this year is playoffs and division and all that. But if you get to a deadline and you're five out of even a wild card spot, to me, you should not be giving up a potential piece of the future to go and get in and scrape by that last wild card spot in that regard. Now, if they're within striking distance a game or so, then absolutely, I think they should. The tricky part is who's going to be buyers, who are sellers. Right now, it's too far out to know the answer to that. And so what opportunities do you have out there to go and add another bat? Or I think they're going to end up trading for a reliever also at one point due to some injuries in the bullpen.
I don't think that's crazy, but the only way I want them to be a seller is if they're, if this makes a half selling, Gold, as in you're selling, but you're buying players for next year that also can play for you. It's got to be major league ready players. It's got to be major league ready players where you're robbing, like I said earlier, robbing Peter to pay Paul. You are trading pitching for hitting, or you're trading starting pitching for bullpen pitching, or you're trading, lack of control for control, and you're maybe getting a slightly less good player than Seth Lugo, but you're getting 2 years of additional control to go with it. Fully selling doesn't make any sense based on everything else you've done this year. I think you have to just assume that the talent on this team can still carry you the rest of the way and that you can recover based on where you were. I would hate selling five games back at the trade deadline. I would hate it because
that means to me they're five games. Like for me, for them to sell, they got to be five out. But I'd
be more interested in half buying, like where I give up a prospect and it's for a player that helps me now, but also again has control. So like if it doesn't help me enough this year, it's the Hunter Harvey, Lucas Erceg type where, okay, maybe it doesn't help me this year the way I want it to, like Ben Zobrist and Cueto are one-year rentals. And instead, it might actually help me again next year in case this year falls apart or I don't make the postseason or I get stuck in kind of no man's land. That would probably be my preferred option if they were out of it.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about Cags' debut. We've got a guest actually stopping by, someone that knows Cags pretty well, someone that's in like the sports card industry as well. He just flew in from New York today. So we'll have Will You'll learn more about him coming in next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.